Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. This is The Vault by Access Hollywood. I'm Zuri Hall.
And I'm Scott Evans.
And today on the show, we're going to do something a little different than we normally do, because today we are going to help everyone get into the holiday spirit, Scott.
Is that what we're going to do today?
I know. You didn't get the memo. Surprise. I wasn't sure you'd show up if I told you ahead of time what the plan today was.
I feel like I maybe need to go get dressed. I need to go put on a stocking or something like
a. Stocking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that the Santa Claus elves wear.
Boy, that is not a stocking.
It's a stocking?
It's an elf hat.
No, they're little people, so they wear a stocking as a hat.
Oh, like a little sock.
It's like a little sock, right?
Is this
imagery that I have messed up as a kid and have held on to?
This is like some like weird holiday thing that doesn't happen for anyone except Scott Evans.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for it. Whatever traditions you're into, we're celebrating today, okay? All is welcome. That's right. We won't be revisiting any clips today. So instead of going into our...
Well, don't tell the people that.
Oh, okay. Just kidding.
Don't tell the people that the whole
episode...
You never know what might happen.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Now that I'm clicked off, look.
No, because we're going into the vault of our memories, you know? We're going to shed some light on our own experiences, you and your socks on your head at the holidays. Like, this is, who needs a clip? Who needs a vault when you have that just plethora of really odd...
I'm sweating already. This is a lot of pressure. Okay.
Today, we're going to share some of our favorite holiday memories, movie songs, more. I'm really just excited to debate who has the most iconic holiday movies of all time. I'm going to go ahead and put Hallmark in there as a shoe-in. Lifetime gives them a run for their money.
Netflix, whoa, Hallmark over?
The game.
Hallmark over Lifetime? Don't they actually kiss full mouth and tongue on Lifetime? Don't they peck on Hallmark?
See, but that's what I love about Hallmark. They're just lying to you about what life is, about what you can expect from it. Not to get super downer in the holiday episode, but I feel like Hallmark just allows me to sip the Kool-Aid for a long weekend.
Okay, get you some cocoa and just cozy up.
Yeah, I want to believe, you know? It takes me back to the days when...
When things were easy. When you were a lonely shop owner and Travis walked in and your high school sweetheart, recently single...
Yeah.
Visiting his mother.
In a cardigan.
Who's always really loved you.
Right.
I get it. Okay.
You're always like an aspiring journalist with a pen and a pad, and you're there to like crack the case, and you're not going to take any from anybody.
And little did you know, you about to find your man, girl.
Exactly. Yeah. Get your whole blessing and never leave that little town again, because you just realize that's all that matters.
You go back to work at the town paper.
For sure.
Like, this is every Hallmark movie. This is
all of the movies. There's always
at least in a Lifetime movie, you get like a murder and a love scene.
That's true. You know what I mean? Lifetime is a little more steamy. They're a little more scandalous.
Yeah, it's like, there's a memory in the bathtub and then commercial. I don't know.
What do you mean? Okay, I guess I got to step up my Lifetime movie game. But I love the Hallmark ones. Netflix is kind of
coming in hot.
Coming in really hot. Like, they're just dominating. They're like, you know what we should do? Home reno. Let's try that. You know what would be fun? Holidays. You know what we should do? An epic, massive sci-fi mash. And they just get to kill it because they just have unlimited resources. They're just like this behemoth of content.
And they have the automatic rollout, right? So it's like, yes, they put the movie out and people watch it. And it's interesting. Have you noticed your top 10 on Netflix shifting?
Dude.
Toward all holiday movies. Now, you know that don't make no sense.
But here's my thing. Conspiracy theory.
That's what I said.
Is it the top 10? Is it really the top 10? Or is this just what Netflix wants us to watch? So they're going to tell me this is number one in America today because they want me to be like, well, why is it number one? And I'm going to click it.
Does it work?
Yes. Because I was like, why is Virgin River number one? It just came out of nowhere for season two. And I was like, well, if everybody's watching it, I guess I need to know what's going on in Virgin River right now. And then I sat last night and figured out there's a lot of scandal. Someone's having a baby by somebody else, but it's not the one he wants to be with. I'm like, okay, I get it. Maybe it is number one in the US today.
Whoa. Virgin River. Do I need to add that to the list?
You should. It's Hallmark vibes. So.
Oh.
Like, literally, she was a nurse who had to get out of town. And so she moved to a forest and fell in love with like the local lumberjack or something. I told you, I'm at a place in my life where I just need to believe all the lies. Okay. Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Cheers.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Okay. So before we get to the most iconic movies of the holiday season, in your opinion, I want to know if you have any sort of like fantastic or terrible holiday memories. Like what it like in your family, in your life, like, do you have any sort of like, do you have those moments where you're like, oh, this one goes down in the books.
I feel like we all have one. Mine was Christmas. It was, it went down in infamy. It's a whole thing. Honestly, I'm not even going to go there. That's just how bad it was. It was
terrible. People must know.
No, it was to the point, I'll just say it started over a piece of chicken. Like, it literally started over a disagreement about who was going to get a piece of fried chicken. But I will say, that's the catalyst.
It's like a stereotype.
I know, and I hate to do it, and I hate that it's the truth. But it is. Never mind, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. But it just, you know how it takes like one little thing that doesn't have anything to do with all the big things, but that's the thing, right, that just sets off a chain of events. So that happened. That was some years ago. But it's one of those things where when you get that moment, it's big, and then you just are like, ugh, I think I need a break from Christmas for the next 3 years. Oh, I think I need a break from, you know, 4th of July or Valentine's Day. I'll try this again in a decade or a couple of cousins. Yes.
Yeah. That auntie. Always got there's always an auntie. Like, are you happy with your life, auntie?
Dang. But really, misery loves company. And the miserable people always want to show up front row center to the holiday party.
You hear me? Holler it.
Up your day. Wait, so you got to give me a bad memory? Because then it'll make us more appreciative for the good ones we're going to
Wait, have. Is this going to be the tone for the holiday episode?
Our producers are like, they had one job.
It was to spread the holiday cheer. Okay, here's what I'll tell you. I can remember very specifically the moment I questioned whether this Santa Claus thing was really real.
Really?
Like, I remember very specifically. I couldn't tell you how old I was, but I remember the crunch of the paper. I remember.
How old are you?
The supplies all over the living room.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I had to have been around. Oh, I'm not going to tell you how old I was because that's embarrassing.
29, 30.
Last year. Ago. Yeah. No, I was probably seven. First grade, second grade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I didn't tell my mom. For a long time, it's like I kept up the. Is it the charade or charade. Is it the charade?
I was gonna say charade, but
charade sounds fancy. And for 2020,
let it be a charade. I mean, a charade.
It's gonna be a charade.
It's a charade.
I left the I kept up the charade for my mom, right? So I remember getting up. I was super excited and like couldn't sleep, right? And I had a water bed. It was a car water bed, and I moving in the bed like turned the heater up on the bed because I was like, if I could just get a little more cozy, I could just. And then I heard, well, now, girl, because I don't even know why you said that to him. I don't even know why you said. What did you think was gonna happen? Now, girl, I'm in here wrapping these damn presents. Right? I hear that, and I was like,
you said, hold up,
he's come you're already.
And why he sound like my mama?
And he didn't wrap the presents.
Oh,
maybe I can get a glimpse of what he left.
Oh,
and I walk out and I like peek out behind this wall in our living room, and my mom is sitting there on the couch with a cigarette and a cookie. She's eating the cookies that we left for Santa.
She ate Santa's cookie,
man. And I was like,
devastated.
What is she?
So wait, in that moment, do you just understand it all? Or are you just like, my mom is so selfish. Why would she eat Santa's cookies?
Here's the thing. I went back to bed and I felt like I went to sleep almost. I didn't. I got back into bed and I stayed awake and I just waited until
you can't
like
go
a
back
reasonable
sleep after something like that. You juiced up. Yeah.
I waited to like what would be a quote unquote reasonable time for a 6 or 7 year old to wake up for Christmas. So it was like 4 a.m. Right. I was like knocking on her door, like ready to, I think it's time for this Christmas thing. Yeah. And we get out into the living room and it's like just gifts everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
And I she hands me one that has like, my mom also read like a Bible scripture every year. So we do that. And then she hands me the first gift and she's like, this one's from Santa. And all I remember thinking was, you lying. You lying. This ain't from Santa. And so I open it.
Your little world is shattered.
And I lift up the paper and it says, from Santa to Scott. And I said, I remember out loud saying, well, how come this is in your handwriting?
You're and my badass. Mom said,
she looked at me and she was kind of like, you know how parents look at their kids like, are you challenging me?
Right,
is
right.
Is this a challenge, young man? She said, oh, well, he had a lot of other houses to get to, so I told him I would write out the notes and wrap them myself. I was like, oh, so you working for Santa now?
So y'all just having a whole standoff in the middle of Christmas party.
In the middle of Christmas.
That is funny. Nothing was ever the same.
It was never the same. And I remember telling her a couple years after that, like, you don't have to keep doing this Santa thing. And she was like,
Yeah. I don't remember us ever having the aha moment that like, oh my gosh, this is what it is. This is what it's not. I remember trying, but my dad would just like, Jedi mind trick. Like it would just, I remember one day I was sitting in my room. It was like July, by the way, it wasn't even Christmas. And I was like, there's just no way. Well, maybe, but if you do, and I remember walking down the hall to the bathroom where my dad was shaving and knocking on the door. It was open, a crack. But we'd be like, excuse me, sir, I need to talk to you. And he was like, I don't call my dad, sir.
A moment, sir.
A moment, please. And he was like, yeah, what's up? I was like, are you sure Santa's real?
Oh, no.
Like, are you sure? He was like, first of all, it's July. I am not in a place to deal with you in this right now. And he's just, well, what do you think? Do you feel? Well, it's the ball with you, whatever. I'm like, I'm looking for answers, not metaphorical, philosophical ideas about whether or not this man is going to end up on our rooftop in 6 months. Like, I just need to know. But they would never tell me. And then I think I just kind of grew, like,
out of it.
I don't think we ever had the standoff in the living room.
You working. I remember specifically, oh, so you working for Santa Claus now?
You can. We got extra income, just side hustle.
Can I work for Santa too?
Yeah, right. Where do I apply?
Yeah, how much?
Let me get an application.
Yeah, and I also remember a couple years before that, the year that Santa Claus did not come to our house because I was so bad in school.
Were you
so bad outside of school that she was like,
so just bad?
I'm writing Santa a letter. He's not coming. He's not, hell no, he's not coming. You gonna act like this?
Oh, you really didn't get it. Just the fear that the looming threat was enough for me to act right. I could feel that man's presence, his eyes just boring into the back of my skull in like March, April, May. I remember one time I almost did some really bad stuff, but I was a pretty good kid, but I almost did some bad stuff. And I remember looking to the left and the right over my shoulder. I was alone in my bedroom. Couldn't have been more than like 5 or 6. Looked out the window. I remember looking out the window and I could see to my neighbor's yard. Just, I was like scouting the scene to do some stuff in my room. And then I was like, I think the coast is clear. Like I could definitely do this. And then I was like, but Santa, like, that's a tricky one because I haven't seen him. I don't know where he is. I don't know how he finds you, what he sees.
That list.
But, like, it's just not a risk I want to take. And I sat my butt down on the bed and just watched Barney and Friends or whatever the heck.
What I'm
but
not
I had Christmas,
do.
Unlike Scott. Right?
What I'm not going to do is end up on this naughty list.
Listen, can't do it.
But that was the risk thing. Santa didn't show up. My mom still got me gifts, but I didn't get any. She threw away all of my toys that year. I already owned. I tried to hide some in a suit. I tried to like hide a couple cars in like a suit that was hanging up. She found them. She threw all the toys away, and Santa didn't bring any toys. I got clothes from my mom that Christmas.
She got you clothes. That's the wackest gift you could give a kid because no kid cares about the clothes.
Honestly, though, I did kind of. I've always cared about the.
I was like, I don't want shirts. I don't want pants. Give me toys.
Okay. So what would then be your favorite, like the in your opinion, the go-to holiday movie?
Oh, go-to holiday movie.
What's the one that works every single year?
Every time. Okay, so there are two. Every year with my family, my dad started this tradition. We have to watch Miracle on 34th Street or 34th Street? 34th Street, right?
Every year? Y'all watch it every year?
No, we really do. But I get y'all.
Miracle on the Street.
34th. It was like 29th Street. Miracle on, what was that? Down there on what? Rockwood Avenue?
Pretty sure it was off of Kenwood.
Kenwood. So Miracle on 34th. But because I fall asleep now at this point, I'm like, okay, cool. So this is where I get to check out and get a little nap before we like go in for round two of dinner because we've seen it so many times.
That part.
But we watched that and it feels so good because it's so slow. But at this point, what I love is when we were kids, we liked it when we were super young. And then we got into the phase where we were too cool for everything. Like we didn't want to do any of this. We want to be friends. We want to watch our own Christmas movies. We don't even want to look at each other. Like the like brat phase. Mm-hmm. And then we got old enough and grew out of that to where now you look forward to that type of stuff that you used to take for granted. You know, it's like, man, I just want to sit on the couch with my family and watch that movie that we used to be so bored watching. Mm-hmm. So I love that film. And then I just like Santa Claus with Tim Allen because that was
really
peak. Yeah, it was just peak Christmas time, and I'm a kid for me. So I remember when it first came out and it was just like a dope movie to watch. I wouldn't call it like my go-to classic, but I remember that was around the time that I was still excited about Christmas in the way that a kid would be. So it just brings back memories.
I'm just remembering.
Why are you looking at me like
that? I was just remembering the plot of Santa Claus. It's the one like when if you kill Santa, you become Santa.
It's a little twisted, right?
Like imagine going into the studio and being like, so we got an idea for a kid's holiday movie. All right, give it to me. Okay, check this.
Yeah.
Opening sequence, Tim Allen kills Santa. Then
wait for it.
Himself becomes Santa.
And then spends the next 80 years running away from attempted murders for those in quest to become the next Santa. The summer blockbuster we need.
Right?
It's like an action film in August now. When you put it like that, it's a little bit depressing. What about you, Scott? Have a favorite movie that doesn't involve murdering Santa Claus?
No, it's awesome. I just like the entertainment industry, man. It's like a whoever, just throw something at the wall and see what they say yes at this point.
It stuck because they had a Santa Claus 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And he fell off that roof a couple of times.
And then they had a spinoff with like a black Santa. Like it was like, you know,
did they?
It was like Santa Claus. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, why stop? I'm just kidding. I'm dead with you.
No, so
your
okay.
Favorite.
So this is gonna be. I don't know if you're familiar with this film, this work of art, but okay. In our house, we every single Christmas at some point, not necessarily on Christmas Day, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Hmm.
It is an opera, a modern opera.
Yeah. You love that musical.
Have I mentioned that musical before?
Every other episode that we've had, including now this one.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember that Christmas is about
absolutely
Jesus.
He's the reason for the season. However, Scott, I just can't give you the musical. Is specifically the musical of all the things.
I think it's because it reminds me of my granddad. It reminds me of my mom's childhood.
Yeah.
And I know how much of a part it played in their house and not wanting that kind of tradition to end with them.
Right.
So I think I've kind of latched onto it like, yeah, no, that ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Can I confess something?
You've never seen Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah. So because now that I'm like, well, maybe I should watch it in its entirety and then see.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
It really is the go-to.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. It is colorful. Uh-huh. It is vibrant. It is song and dance.
This is not the same as Jesus in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, is it?
Not what?
Okay. See, so every time you've said Jesus Christ Superstar,
I don't think it's even Jesus in the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
What is it? What is it called? That is the Joseph, the producer's it. So here's the thing. I take back everything I've ever said when I laugh at you about your favorite opera or musical being Jesus Christ Superstar. Because every time you said it, I imagine Jesus in a technical.
So here's what I didn't tell you. Here's what I didn't tell you. Joseph and Jesus, two different people.
Oh my God, Scott, I know this. Stop, you guys.
People. Two different people.
I am very aware. I am a good Christian.
I'm going to tell you what my mama said.
I'm tell you what my mama said.
You know, I'm for real about my Jesus.
Okay, well, I love that. Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm gonna watch that this holiday season, and I'm gonna think of you and cheers with eggnog.
Yeah,
recommendation.
It's just great. It's great music. It's great energy.
Okay.
And you know, it's also like it's centered around the dude that Christmas specifically is about.
Quite
and
then really
and certainly not saying, I don't want to be very clear, like certainly not hoping that anybody who's listening to this and is perhaps not a fan of Jesus, this is not like a judgment on your practice or on your participation in this season, because certainly I think that there are more or varied traditions in this time of the year that aren't only centered around Jesus, but in my particular house, this movie played a really, really big part of the holiday season. And I have really fond memories of like assigning characters to people in the living room and like sing everything they sing.
This is an interactive, immersive experience.
Oh yeah, we know all the lyrics.
Like, love it.
We've been watching it every year.
Every year. And I don't even remember the title of Miracle on 34th Street. I've been watching that thing for 30 years. When you say that now, it makes me think of it. Now I'm in a good mood. That shows you what good memories and gratitude can do.
Yeah.
But it makes me think about the claymation shows. Did you watch those? That was our go-to as kids. So remember, you could watch them for free on like, what were the shows back in the day? Like before it was Freeform, Disney Channel or ABC. I don't even remember what Freeform used to be called, but yes.
Oh, like ABC Family.
Rudolph. ABC Family, the story of baby Jesus in the manger and three wise men. And they were like those claymation kind of stories. I loved those things obsessively. We watched every single one. I might do that this year. That to me feels so much like, you know, the holiday spirit, even how simple it is. You think about all of the crazy pyrotechnics. Are we at a Michael Jackson concert? I'm sorry. CGI. You think about the CGI and the special effects and all this stuff that kids these days get, which is awesome. But it's like back then we were just watching little clay figures
on strings.
Getting to it. And I could not have been more thrilled. So
do you remember, Rudolph.
Rudolph is one of them. Yeah.
So if you watch that, I just dare y'all. Have I ever failed you with a Google?
No. Oh, okay. God. Do we have another Russian Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, this one isn't necessarily a Google as much as it is, maybe, as much as it is just a rewatch.
Okay.
Santa in that
show that, that version movie, of
is like a bully.
Yeah, they're all not nice. Like, Rudolph really went through a lot.
He went through it.
And he didn't deserve it.
So they just recently sold those actual figurines, those actual puppets, those actual figures.
Did they?
In auction. And I think they got close to like $250,000 for those puppets. The Rudolph's nose still lights up.
Does it?
I thought that was a really cool thing.
That's amazing.
To know that, you know, that someone had held onto those puppets for, or those figurines for so long, and they just recently sold for quite a bit of money.
A lot of money. I love that. I love to hear it. That was definitely a big part of my childhood. So I'm glad to hear that lives on. Who would have thought that those figurines are still off somewhere?
Living a best life.
Stepping and roboting and doing all their things.
Okay, so before we get out of here, I feel like now that we've gotten the right tone, let's look at, I mean, this year has certainly been hard for, I'm going to say all of us, even if you have found moments of ease. It has been a difficult year, but there are still some great moments, even in entertainment, that have really, I think, lifted us a little bit. And I don't know about you, but I think seeing people gather together with this united effort, this united, even outrage, to call for some serious change in this country, was something that I am not just thankful for, but glad that we have lived to see. You know, glad that we've reached a point where people really, I think, are saying, nah, that's got to change.
Right.
That's got to change.
Yeah, it's difficult when you have to go through the bad stuff, the pain, the discomfort, the tragedy, even to get to a point of realizing, you know, who's there for you. And also sometimes being pleasantly surprised that people are in your corner that you didn't even realize would be in your corner. And that's across the board, across the spectrum for a lot of different things this year. People have needed others to show up for them for so many reasons this year, emotionally, mentally, quite literally, physically. And so to see people step up, it's like we could focus on all of the bad or, you know, the more depressing aspects of this year, but I'd rather we celebrate, which I think a lot of us have realized this year, celebrate the fact that even in the midst of all of those shadows and that darkness, like there was light and that people were really committed to helping get one another through this, even when we had nothing in common, except for the fact that we were all going through it, like going through something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just, while this has been a really awkward or odd holiday season, I think, you know, ending with the election and then moving right into Thanksgiving, I think if you're like me, you were like, okay, cool. So Thanksgiving is coming. We good. Let's go.
Right.
Back to what we usually do and how we usually feel. And then at the end of dinner, you were probably feeling like, if you're like me, you were feeling like, oh, well, this still ain't it. This still ain't
exactly. 2020 was like, LOL, pass the turkey. Thanks.
Right. And so
I'm here still. I'm not going anywhere.
Right. I got 36 more days, 34 more days.
Moment.
So I just, as we prepare to go through this next phase of the holiday season and wind down 2020, I just want to invite other people. I just want to invite everybody who's listening to this to not necessarily feel like, to be okay with the fact that it doesn't necessarily feel the way that you thought it would, or that doing the things that you've always done maybe doesn't deliver the same kind of emotional response that you'd hope for, that is okay. That it is okay to feel that way, and that together we are going to get through it, and that you deserve to know you're gonna be all right. That you're gonna be all right.
It's so true. It's so true. Well, honestly, Scott, I feel like with what you said, it's spot on. It's so true. And, you know, we are not alone, even when we feel it. Sometimes you just got to step outside of your front door or pick up that phone or just weekly put your hand in the air and you'll be surprised at who is willing to show up or, you know, maybe come to your rescue or come be a listening ear, but you're not alone. And if you feel like no one else is thinking of you right now, we are thinking of you.
Absolutely.
Truly.
Yeah,
you
truly.
Know, we truly, whoever is out there and needs some love or some light, we're sending it your way right now. And we're glad that you're listening.
Can you
and
feel
spending
it?
This time with us.
Can you feel it?
We're sending
it to you. Literally, our fingers are sending it to you right now.
Mighty.
Ah!
Oh, spirit fingers. Well, you guys, that's going to do it for our special vaultless episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. That's it for our good time jogging down memory lane. Wishing you guys a happy holiday season. Hoping you can make the most of what you got, whatever that is. And we're thankful, as always, for you. Thankful for this podcast. Thankful for this show. Scott, I'm thankful for you.
I'm thankful for you. Zuri.
You had to do it. You had to say it. I mean, I really set you up for that one. And then I stared into his soul.
She's like, mother, say it back. Right now. Right
now. Like you mean it. Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest.
Right. Okay, y'all. Join us again when we make another trip to the Access Hollywood Vault. You never know what that next throwback is going to be. And in the meantime, make sure you're subscribed for more. You can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere else. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
To you.
You.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.